Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right, well, hey, we are starting a brand new series, and it's going to be our Christmas series, and it's going to be a blast. And really, we have some fun things planned for this entire month as well. Christmas is an exciting time, and it's just a busy time as well. So I want to go over some things that you can expect for December tonight. It really kicks off, and we're starting with our Winter Connect Hangout, and we're having our family movie night. The movie will start at 6:30, but from 6 to 6:30, we want you all there, especially those on our serve team, and shameless product placement. But you may just get a gift tonight. I don't know what it is, but if you come at 6 to 6:30 and you're part of our serve team, we want to bless you, and there's a gift for you. And then if you're not on our serve team, hey, come at 6 to 6:30 anyways and give those who make every Sunday morning, give those a high five to make it happen. It's incredible. We actually have 97 people who serve throughout month to month and help out in different areas. So it's just awesome, and we're always adding to that. So if you want to be a part, you can come tonight and meet some of our team, meet some of our directors, and find out how to be a part as well. So all that is tonight at 6. Then next week we have our partnership meeting. This is our business meeting. We're actually adopting our own official bylaws. So we're church plants. For the last 3 years, we've been under a church in Pickerington called C3 Church. But as we've grown, we're ready to launch off and really go by ourselves. So next Sunday night at 6 p.m., we're going to adopt our own official bylaws. And there is childcare provided for that, but that's at 6. And then also, there's like something every Sunday night, but coming up on December 17th, you may have noticed when you walked in, there was a Christmas tree right at the beginning, right? There's Christmas trees everywhere, but right at the beginning when you walked into the foyer, there was a Christmas tree, and that Christmas tree had different cards on it, and each card actually represents a child at an apartment complex that we are kind of adopting. We've actually adopted them just as a part of us throughout the year, but for Christmas, what we're going to do is we're going to bless them with Christmas presents. So there's 72 kids. And each card shows their age, shows their sex, and their apartment number. So what we're going to do, though, is you can take one of those cards off, and you can provide a Christmas present for them. Now, in our serve team meeting, I did announce something wrong. I said, hey, just do with whatever you want. But we're actually going to say that's different because I completely forgot about the information I was given. So sorry about that. We're going to clarify that. It's $15 and just get one gift per card. So what you're going to do is you're going to get one gift at a $15 limit. And then you're going to bring it back December 17th, bring it back wrapped with that card on the paper. So make sure you wrap it, put the card back on the paper. If you take a card and you don't bring it back by December 17th, you are the main character in the movie we're watching tonight, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, okay? So make sure that you bring that back wrapped by December 17th. You can even bring it back early. I know that's crazy, but you could bring it back next week too if you wanted to. But make sure we grab that. We're going to support that and really partner with that apartment complex. It's going to be some exciting stuff. And then that evening, we're actually going to go to the apartment complex, and we are going to go old school Christmas caroling at 6 p.m. at the apartment complex on December 17th. So super fun stuff. And then all this, again, leads up to Christmas Eve, which is actually on a Sunday this week year. It's December 24th, hence Christmas Eve. And that's on a Sunday. What we're going to do is we're going to mix it up a little bit. We're still going to have two services, but instead of the 9 o'clock service, which all you guys come to, right, we're not going to have that. So mark in your heads, we will not have a 9 o'clock service on December 24th. Instead, we're going to have a 10:30 and then a 5 p.m. So for some of you guys that have a lot of things going on in the afternoon or even the evening, you're like, man, I really actually never made it to a Christmas Eve service. We want to do the morning service to give you that opportunity. But then some of you are like, man, it's not Christmas Eve if it's not later in the evening or the afternoon. So that's why we're doing the 5 p.m. service. So mark your calendars for that. So really, December is a very full and busy month, but there's some fun stuff. And what we're doing right now is we're jumping in and we're going to start the brand new series called B-Roll, as you saw from the video, right? And I'm excited to jump into this series because really, if you look at the story of Christmas, if you look at the story of Jesus, there's many different roles. There's many different parts and different people who played a part in the story of Jesus, who played a part in the story of Christmas. In fact, each year you hear of all these stories and you kind of hear the same thing over and over again. But there's some people who played a role behind the scenes, people who may not have really always get the spotlight, but they still played a part. And through this series, what we're going to do is we're going to dig into some of these lesser talked about characters in this story, which is why we entitled it B-roll. And just so you know, we completely made this word up. We're just going to be, let's just be honest about that. All right? So the word B-roll, B-R-O-L-L, like that's an actual word. And then what that means is that's usually used in footage and film. It's basically footage of anything other than the main focus. So what we did, we just kind of played along with that and then spelled it B-R-O-L-E. And we're talking about really any other part besides the lead role, any other part besides the main character. But what we're going to see through this series is this, is that with God, there's really no small part to the story. Right? Even though these people sometimes fade into the background, there's a tremendous amount that we can learn from them. There's a tremendous amount of things that really we can relate to them, and they all really played a huge part in the story. They played a huge part in the Christmas story. So as we jump in, let's kind of think about some supporting roles or some supporting characters, right? When we think about that, we probably think about the movies. In fact, Christmas time and Thanksgiving, they're actually the most popular time for the movies. Thanksgiving Day is actually the number one day for everybody to go see a movie, and then that's followed closely by Christmas Day as number two. So just by a raise of hands, has anybody, did anybody go out and say, are these statistics true at all? Because I don't really believe it. But did anybody go out and see a movie on Thanksgiving Day? All right, we have one. Nailed the statistics right there. How about, like, lately? Has anybody gone to see a movie lately at least? Okay, we see there's a couple of them, right? But if you think about it, movies are one of those things that we all kind of relate with, we like. We probably even have our favorite movie. In fact, tonight we're watching The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. This is my son Griffin's favorite movie. He hasn't seen too many movies to say that. But this is one of his favorite movies, so we're excited about that. But we probably all have a favorite movie. So raise your hand if you have a favorite movie, because I think 100% of us have a favorite movie. Okay, perfect. Let me give some, just to give me an example, just start yelling out favorite movies of whatever. Of all. Mr. Holland's Opus. The Big Lebowski. Right. What's that? Rocky. Dude, I like them. Star Wars. All right, there's some good ones. Anybody else? Now we're talking. We started out slow, but then you go and totally redeem yourself like that, right? I think we all have favorite movies, and they're really fun, but what makes a movie like our favorite, right? What makes the movie great? What makes a movie great is really the plot, right? The twist, the humor, if we're going Dumb and Dumber, right? The actors, but not only actors, but the supporting actors as well, right? Not just the main roles, but some of the supporting roles as well. I mean, if you think about it, your favorite movie, your favorite show, and every single one of those, they had probably a great main role, right? They had a great character, but they also had supporting actors and actresses that really built up that main role. What's funny, though, is that we often overlook these. And just to prove it to you, I want to ask you another question. Does anybody know the name David Morse? Does anybody know who David Morse is? Okay, we've got one person. So this worked out well. This was better than the statistics. So there's one person. So David Morse is actually, I didn't really know who he was either, not by like name, but once I saw his face, I kind of knew him. But David Morse is a guy who's been in TV, he's been in movies, he's been in great movies, right? He's been in The Hurt Locker, he's been in Green Mile, he's been in all these, right? So some of you guys, once this fucked up, you're like, oh yeah, I know that guy, I've seen him before, right? But if you look at him, he's played a great guy. Like he's played a great supporting role before. He's a great supporting actor, right? He plays this incredible role, and he's kind of a B-roll actor. And when you look at the story of Jesus, though, and when you look at the story of Christmas, you see that there's many different people who played a part. There's many different people who played a role, but they're really vital roles. And although we may know these people, sometimes they kind of seem to fade in the background. But their roles are really no less important to the telling of the story. In fact, here's what I want us to walk away with today, and really kind of the main premise of this whole series is this. Is there's no small parts in the story of Jesus, only small-minded people. There's no small parts in the story of Jesus, only small-minded people. And really, this is illustrated really in how Jesus is even introduced in the Bible. So if you have your Bibles, go with me. We're going to read Matthew. And we're going to start right after chapter 1, go to verses 1 through 17. So if you have your Bibles, go there with me. If you don't have your Bible, we challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. Again, an incredible resource. I think we're going through a reading plan right now that you can go on our social media and you can actually find and read your Bible every single day. And there's different devotionals. You can even jump on your own. If you're going through something, you can go through and look at plans and then type whatever, maybe something, whether it's anxiety or anything that you may be struggling with, you can type it in there and it'll give you some reading plans to go through and read along with that, what you're going through. So just an incredible resource. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 1. And if you look at the book of Matthew, it was written about 50 to 60 years after the death of Jesus. And the book of Matthew, it's really some amazing literature because it serves as this amazing connection piece. See, Matthew, it was written for really the broad audience. It was written for both Jewish and Gentile audience. And it was written and directed towards all. And what it was doing is really this transition piece serving to show that Christ came not just for Jewish people, but he came for all. He came for both Jewish and Gentiles, right? He came in this piece of literature really showing that Jesus came. He lived his perfect life. He died on a cross, and he was risen again to give us all new life. Not just some, but all. And it does this really great job of showing this and building this up and showing that everybody plays a role in the Jesus by really describing where Jesus came from. And it starts right here in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. So bear with me. We're going to read through this. You guys ready? All right, let's go. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, we'll keep going. Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abihud. Abihud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Achim. Achim, the father of Elihud. Elihud, the father of Elizar. Elizar, the father of Mathan. Mathan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus, there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to the Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. Okay. Now we're good, right? Some of you are thinking like, man, is there going to be an interpretation? Was that tongues? I don't really get that. Or like, some of you thinking like, dude, you just cussed at me in church? Like, I don't, like, what is this? What is this place? And how in the world, all of us are asking, how in the world does this tie into anything at all, right? Looking at this. Because if we're honest with ourselves, and I'm going to be honest too, this is a part of the scriptures that I look at and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to read that. We're going to just skip to the next chapter, right? I may skim it. I may just look at the words and say, yeah, I looked at that page in the Bible and like, yeah, I read that clearly, obviously, right? But we just skip over it, right? But think about this. This is a big deal. Like, this is how Jesus was introduced. He was introduced with this long list of people with crazy names, many of which I completely butchered, right? But more importantly, he was introduced with this list of these people with incredible, crazy stories. Right? Each one of these people, they played a part. Each one of these people, they played a role. Each one of them, their names meant something. And each one had a story behind their name. And they're important. So much so that they were written down. See, there's no small parts in the story of Jesus, only small-minded people. So let's go back, and we'll just quickly look at a few of these stories, right? We could spend probably the whole entire series looking at each individual story here, and we could spend even months doing this. But let's just go look at a couple of them, right? Started off with a guy named Abraham. Now, Abraham is one who we talked about before. You've probably heard about him before, and he's just this incredible man of God. So it makes sense that he's in the lineage of Jesus, right? It makes sense that he played a role. But what's also crazy about Abraham is Abraham was kind of messed up sometimes, right? He had a lot of faith, but he also had some struggles. He had a lot of faith, but he also sometimes doubted God, so much so that he basically lied and prostituted out his wife not once, but twice to stay safe. And if you think about it, this is the guy who's a part of the story of Jesus. This is a guy who plays a supporting role in the story of Jesus. Then again, it jumps down. You see a guy named Jacob, right? Jacob, again, you hear awesome things about him, a guy who had incredible faith in God. But if you look deeper into the story of Jacob, Jacob is basically a thief, right? He stole the blessings of his brother. He stole the birthright from his brother. But yet he still played a part in the story of Jesus. And then you see roles of Judah and Tamar. They show up. Now, this is a straight-up crazy story, right? So Tamar is Judah's daughter-in-law. And Tamar's husband actually passed away. And he passed away before she was able to give birth. And that time, that was like one of the things, a woman's main goal was to give birth to children, right? So she felt like she was basically useless. So what'd she do? Instead, what she did is she disguised herself as a prostitute and then went to Judah, and then Judah slept with her and had her kid, right? So this is insane, right? Like, you think about it, like, here's this woman who's basically lying, deceiving somebody, and then here's this guy who's sleeping with prostitutes. And this is the background. This is the supporting roles in the story of Jesus. Like, not only isn't this in the Bible, but this is in the lineage of Jesus. Then it jumps down and it throws Rahab in there. Again, crazy. We talked about Rahab a couple weeks back. She was a prostitute, and she was a prostitute by choice. Then it jumps in, and you see David. Again, if you remember anything about David, he was a man after God's own heart, but really he had a lust problem. He had a lying problem, so much so that he committed adultery. And then he sent really this lady's husband to the front lines, who was a friend of his. He sent him to the front lines to be killed. So David is basically a murderer. If you look at this list of people, if you listen to this list of these supporting roles, right, they're not perfect people. In fact, they're just the opposite. They're people that have issues. They're people just like you and I who have some struggles, right? They're people who, just like you and I, we look like failures on the outside. In fact, many times on the inside, we feel like failures as well. But they still play this incredible part in God's plan. They still played a role in the story of Jesus. And the truth is, so do we. There's no small parts in the story of Jesus, only small-minded people. I think far too often what happens is we become small-minded, right? We fall into this trap and this thinking of really that our struggle, that our past, even our sin, we think of these things and we think that they're actually bigger than God. And because of that, we fall into this trap feeling that we're not important. We think because we struggled with something that God can no longer use us, right? We think that because we have this blemish in our past that our role is really useless. And then what do? We use that blemish. We use that struggle. We use that part of our past. We use that as an excuse, right? We use that as an excuse to continue on and to do what God called us to do. And it could be anything, right? It could be anything. It could be pride. It could be a past failed marriage. It could be failure in our finances that maybe we're even going through right now. It could be an addiction that we've struggled with or even struggling with right now. But we use it as an excuse. And we let it turn us into becoming small-minded. We let it block us from allowing God to really work in and through us. Again, it could be an anger issue. It could be a lust issue. It could be a confidence problem, but we do that. And when I say those three things, listen, that's where I've been before. In college, I struggled greatly with lust, where I felt so much like I was useless. Right, there's times where I haven't been able to control my temper, and I've actually hurt people because of it. There's times, I even shared this before, but I felt like I lacked confidence even before we started this church, where I couldn't talk in front of people without shaking, without being incredibly nervous, right? And what I did is I let those things keep me from moving forward. I used them as excuses because I had become small-minded. And when we do this, what we're really doing is we're becoming disobedient to God. And what that is sin. And I think far too often what we do is we let our sin, we let it lead us to more sin. What's amazing, though, with God is that there's no irredeemable sin, right? There's no irredeemable sin to him. And this is why this passage is so important, because it demonstrates this. If you look at it, God took prostitutes. God took adulterers. God took inbreeders. God took thieves, murderers, liars. He took people full of pride. He took people full of jealousy. He took people full of hatred. He took people full of doubts. And he used them to be a part of the story, to play a supporting part to who Jesus was. He even put them in the lineage of Jesus. And he does the same for us. He makes us a part of his story. Problem is, too many times we become small-minded. And we don't believe this. And when we can't accept this, though, what happens is the cycle of shame will never end. We'll continue to fall. We'll continue to fail. will continue to be small-minded. Again, what do we do with this passage of Scripture? Usually, we just skim it. We just skip over it. We just skim it. We just read through it really quickly, right? Because we don't think it matters. We brush over it. I think too many times we do that with parts of our life as well. We just skim over it. We just brush over it because we don't think they're important. But the truth is, it's so important. It's a part of the story of Jesus. It's a part of the story of salvation. And it's really the completion of our story. He was born, he died, and he was raised again for us to finish the story, to use us. There are no small parts in the story of Jesus, only small-minded people. So think about right now. Think about the role you play. How can God use you in the story? I think there's many of us here today, and we're here because someone played their role, right? Someone played their role in inviting you to church and inviting you in and accepting you into their community, accepting you into their friendship. Somebody played that part and played their role for you. So think about it. Who can you invite? Who can you bring with you? There's many of you today that are sitting here and you know Christ simply because someone was strong enough to lead you by example. Who can you lead by example? And how can you do it? Imagine if you were a light to your family. Imagine if you showed the love of Christ to all those that you came into contact with this Christmas season, right? Imagine if you encouraged others to move past their past and to look at their past as an opportunity for God to work in their future. Imagine if they saw that through you. Imagine if they saw some transparency. Imagine if they saw some honesty in you and you shared a little bit about your past. Imagine the difference it can make. Imagine the difference it can make in their future, right? Imagine what would change if you changed your mindset instead of downplaying who you are. What if you stepped up as a child of God? Imagine if you were no longer being small-minded. Imagine the difference it would make in your life, but also imagine the difference it would make in those around you, your friends, your family, your coworkers, right? There's no small parts in the story of Jesus, only small-minded people. And in our lives, it's time to stop being small-minded. It's time to play our part. And this is really how we do it. Here's how we live this out. Number one, we have to turn your story into his story. It's a little play on words right there. But the truth is, we all have a story. We all have a background. We all have a past. We all have things that we've gone through. We've all been through something, right? But it's time to turn that story into his story. So the question really is, everything that we've gone through, every part of who we are we willing to make it his? And here's how we do that. To make our story his story, don't downplay your past. Don't downplay our past. Truth is, our past is what it is, but more importantly, it's his to work with. Don't downplay your past. Don't be afraid of it. Don't even run from it. Instead, give it to him. Listen, there's things in your past that you think probably don't even matter. There's things in your past that you probably actually want to keep hidden. There's things in your past that you probably think that are so bad that if they came to light, they would destroy you. But there's also things that you just think are boring, that you think that are insignificant. Listen, it's a part of who you are. It's a part of what God wants to work with, so don't downplay it. Bring it to light. Chances are, whether good or bad, it's a connection point with someone who needs to hear it. It's a connection point that somebody needs to really understand so that they can be connected not only to you, but they can be connected to God as well. Don't downplay your past, and then be willing to share. Be willing to share your past. Listen, don't let what you've gone through, don't let what you've experienced, don't let it go in vain. Help others with it. Share with others. If you've gone through mistakes, help others learn from your mistakes. This week I want to challenge you. Maybe you just need to sit down with somebody. Maybe somebody at work, maybe you're seeing them go through something similar to what you've gone through. Maybe this week you need to sit down with them and you just need to share what you've gone through. You need to share part of your past with them to encourage them, to uplift them. Maybe it's with your kids. Maybe you're watching your kids just about walk into the same sins that you've done before, but you're too ashamed and scared of them. Maybe it's time to share a little with them, right? Maybe it's time to share a part of your past with them. Maybe it's with your family, even your parents. Listen, maybe it's time to share some of those crazy things you did, right? Let them know. No, don't break their hearts. But it's time to share your past. The truth is, somebody needs to hear it. So this week, pick a part of your past and share it with somebody. And again, both the good and the bad. Maybe, honestly, you need to share a part of your past with your parents. That's the good things. Maybe the fact that, you know what, they stepped up and they really led by example. Share that with them, right? Share some of the good things. Share some of the love. Share some of the joy that you've experienced because of others. But share the bad things as well, right? Share the hard lessons that you've learned. But be willing to share. And listen, part of making our story his story is making sure the wrong things, the bad things, the things, our mistakes, making sure that we don't repeat them, right? So repent of your mistakes. Stop repeating the past if it's not good. Stop doing the things that aren't good. Listen, you can't use your past and make it, you can't use your past if you continue repeating the past that is bad, right? You can't use your past if you make your past your future. So repent of those things. Stop doing those. Turn away from those mistakes. And to turn away means we probably need to even invite somebody else in there. There's times we're going to have to ask somebody to keep us accountable, to keep us really online and to keep us going in the right path. Listen, for me, there's a group of us in the church that are actually doing push-ups and sit-ups every day. And this isn't really spiritual at all, but it's just bringing somebody in alongside. But each day, we text each other and say, you know what, this is what we're doing. This is how many push-ups I did for the day. And we have a challenge. So each day, we're trying to do 100 push-ups a day. So we'll text that back and forth, right? And what it is just simply some accountability. The same thing. We need to do that in all areas of life, even in our spiritual life. We need to have somebody that says, you know what, this is what I did today. This is how I refrain from doing the stupid thing that I've done in the past. But repent of your mistakes. Turn your story into his story. Don't downplay your past. Be willing to share and repent. And when we do this, God works through us. And what happens is we move from just being small-minded into the area where he wants us to live and where he wants us to thrive. So no matter what stage of life you're going through, no matter where you are, this can still happen. Because the truth is this, God can move through our lives, whether they're courageous or chaotic. And some of you right now are in the middle of chaos, but guess what? God can still move through your lives. Turn your story into his story. And then number two is to play your part. Play your part. We all have a part to play. All right? We all have this supporting role. We all have this B-role, right? But we have to be willing to step up into it. We have to be willing to play our part. And to do that means we have to contribute. So the only thing that matters in our lives is really what we do is what we contribute to the grand story of Jesus. So think about it. What do you have to give? For some of us, maybe we're blessed with finances and that's something we can give. For some of us, maybe we're blessed with time. For some of us, maybe it's just kindness. Maybe it's simply just sharing a smile. But we have to contribute. We have to walk out those things. We all get inklings, right? We all get these promptings that we feel like we're supposed to do. But guess what? It's time to step up, and it's time to follow through with those inklings. It's time to follow through with those promptings. It's time to contribute. So think about how can you contribute this week? Again, maybe for you, maybe it's taking a card off that tree. Maybe it's taking one of those cards and buying a gift for somebody in that apartment complex and then making sure that you have it back here again by December 17th, wrapped with the card name on it, right? I'll say it again. But maybe that's what you're supposed to do. Think about it. Maybe that's what you're supposed to do. Maybe you're supposed to take somebody out for coffee this week and just share your story. Maybe you're supposed to maybe start giving to the church on a regular basis. Maybe you're supposed to serve within the church, right? Maybe you're supposed to do something but contribute and begin now, which really it leads to a life without regrets. Live without regrets. And here's what I know. Oftentimes, we will regret the things we didn't do more than the things we've done. What are you holding back from? Live without regrets. Don't miss out on life. Be willing to take a risk. Be willing to risk it all for God. Live without regrets, which really means that we're dying empty. It means that we're giving everything that we are, giving all that we are, giving everything that we've been given, and giving it back to him. If you look at the life of Paul, there's a guy who was radically changed, but he lived without regrets. Right, he contributed, he played his part, and really he died empty. And he even said it in this way in 2 Timothy 4:6-7, where he says this. He says, "For I have already been poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." He's throwing everything out there, right? Leaving everything out on the field. We need to do that. To turn our story into his story, we need to put everything out there and leave everything out on the field. There's no small parts in the story of Jesus, only small-minded people. So I want to challenge you today, as we go into this Christmas season, to live your part of the story out. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, while all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. With Christ, we all have a part to play in the story. We all have a role, and it's time to step up and do it. It's time to play our part, and it's time to turn our story into his story. And I just want to stop by and end just by sharing a quick story of someone in this very church where we've seen this in action. It's a guy who grew up in a Christian family, but he said he was just going through the motions through much of his life, right? Week after week, just going through the motions. Month after month, just going through the motions. Even year after year, just going through the motions. In fact, I asked him to share a little bit of his testimony, and this is what he said. He said, "My testimony is boring." But he began to share a little bit more, right? I was hearing it. Because one day something clicked. Instead of being small-minded and saying, you know what, my testimony is boring, he started to live this out. He started to pour into others. He started loving others. He started loving people. In fact, he started pouring into students, so much so that if you were here last week, you benefited from it. So much so if you were here last week, his team began to model what he was doing, right? This is the story of Caleb Nilo. This is the story of the student life group. We didn't even have youth a year ago. And this guy built it up. And the last week we were able to celebrate. And it was an incredible. If you were here, it was amazing, right? There's students that will remember that for the rest of their lives. There's many of you that will remember that for the rest of your lives. All because someone stepped up and was willing to play their part. And the truth is, Caleb's story is really not that different from ours. There's many of us here that probably think, man, you know what? My story's just kind of boring. My story just kind of is what it is. In fact, that's how oftentimes I felt before as well. But it's time to play our part. It's time to make our story his story. Chances are you're here today because someone did that. They poured into you. They invited you to church and they shared the love of Jesus. So now it's your turn. There's no small parts in the story of Jesus, only small-minded people. So let's play our part and let's step up. And it all begins with a relationship with Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.